while the world whizzes by. Enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
All right, here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo, hoo. Hey, Dog Pack, Browns fans and Browns backers worldwide. Welcome to another Dogs Podcast episode. And it is a Throwback Thursday edition, which is why I'm by myself. And I am your host, your contributor, your storyteller. I am Kenny Mack. And guys, the preseason is over. The fantasy drafts are in full swing and the rosters are rounding out. The season is kicking off, man, and this is going to be our last edition of Throwback Thursday for the year. We're going to end it the same way we did last year. So we're going to take a stroll down memory lane, so the 2023 street, and we're going to look at the moves that were made in the offseason and see if we can figure anything out for the 2024 season. So before we get started, let's talk about the podcast. Guys, it is near the end. I know it's a little bit different stateside. A lot of people are already back to school, but in case you haven't and you're not in routine, if you're staycationing, traveling in the car, just relaxing on some of these days, weekends, check out some of the awesome content that these guys have been putting together. I mean, they've interviewed Deshaun Watson, Nate Burleson, and Eddie freaking George, just to name a few. So download what you can, listen, relax. Hey, download a couple Throwback Thursdays. Then you can hear some good, the bad, the ugly of some of the seasons of the past and some of the players of the past. Now, let's get into the subscription. We really want to hit 10K by the NFL year. So to get that done, we need about 100 subs. So guys, think about it right now. Have I subscribed or am I just getting this? Hit that sub button. It's super important. The other thing is leave a comment. We always like to know how we do. Follow the Dogs on social media. You guys know it. Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok. Let us know what you think there. And you can, you know, we'll let you know if you're wrong. So check the website, the Dogs Pad. dogspodcast.com. It also will have the latest content, articles. You can even buy merch there. Find the sponsor deals of the day. Sometimes there's stuff through the meat company that we use. We could play fantasy football. Those leagues are done and they are all filled up. And the redraft leagues are going to be this Sunday. And I see that Josh just activated mine as well. So now, let's get in to join the Dog Podcast, join the Dogs. I mean, you did miss out on the fantasy football, but you guys can get in on the Patreon, get in on the Discord. We talk all day. It's super fun. We talk sports, movies, music, beer, everything. This upcoming party that we're going to have for the Chargers game. So get on there. It's jointhedogs.com. Become a member of the Dog Pack. But let's get into this 2023 season. And boy, oh boy, it was a fun year. It was like three seasons in one with all these injuries. So the 2022 campaign ends in Pittsburgh with a 28-14 loss in Pittsburgh. The Browns had a chance to give Mike T his first losing season, but they really didn't look or do anything. Deshaun Watson looked ho-hum. The D-line had some drama with Clowney. He ran his mouth, said he didn't get enough plays for him, and then he got suspended, and he didn't get re-signed. Thanks, Mary Kay, for reporting that. Once the dust settled, though, no playoffs for the Browns. And be honest now, how did you feel about the 2023 season, knowing how 2022 ended? Dude, I was super uneasy, especially with the defense, the special teams, and we needed another receiver. It seemed like the same old, the last 2 years. So 21 and 22, I'm talking about. blow a lead, miss a field goal, and repeat. That just got us to a 15-19 record in those 2 years. The roster, though, I mean, we know they had some key pieces, but they needed a serious upheaval, mainly on D. So let's talk about that. First things first, the much maligned Joe Woods. He was given his walk-in papers. The Browns wasted a little, very, very little time in signing Jim Schwartz. And for me, winner, winner, chicken dinner, man. Like, what's there not like about that signing? The former research assistant from the Bill Belichick Browns, so pre the move, he knows the land, and he also, by Albert Hainsworth, no less, gets called a defensive mastermind. And he's a recent Super Bowl winner, with a credit to a quick turnaround and that Super Bowl. First order of business for him, change the defensive line. Gone. Tavian Bryant, Chase Winovich, Stephen Weatherby, disgruntled Jadavian Clowney, all kind of off injured, soft on the run, or in Clowney's case, you know, a big no-no. Can't call out the coaching staff, man. Insert new free agents. Road grader, Delvin Tomlinson, pass rush specialist, Oko Aronkwo, Maurice Hurst. And a trade to set the other side, or set the edge on the other side of Myles Garrett, Z-Dog, Za'Darius Smith. And we also had a late addition and a pleasant surprise in Shelby Harris. So this line was beefed up, and Schwartz was basically saying, you are not going to run on us. It was super simple. Beef up the tackles, stop the run, force third and long, intensify the pass rush with win rate and forced incompletions, and hurries, and the sacks will come. The Browns also, I want to say surprise move, because it took a while after they got rid of our old defensive coordinator. Mike Prefer was removed, the special teams coach, and that wasn't a surprise, just took a long time. And we got former player Bubba Vatrone, and he's had, in the last couple of years before he joined the Browns, ranked in the top five in special teams, and it proved out something this year. But the one thing he really needed, and Barry wasted little time, is he got Dustin Hopkins. And he just signed a 3-year extension as well. So one of the best moves of the year, and the reason is, if you look at the 2022 season, you take a look at the first 8 games where we were 3-5. There were 4 games that we lost by 3 or less points. In 2 of those games, they were directly affected by the kicking game. You guys remember the extra point that we missed out on in the Jets game, and we ended up losing by 1 point. The other one was the Chargers game, where he didn't hit a kick other than extra points, and we lost by 2 points. Now, I get the D had issues, and that was part of the reason for the Jets game, and it was also the reason for the Falcons. We could not stop the run because we had no depth. But the other game that we lost was a 3-pointer against the Ravens before our bye week. And basically, if we had a better D, and I think you guys would agree with this, better D, confident kicker, that could have been fixed, and 2022 could have been a great season. But back to the draft now. It's 2023. The draft brought in our third receiver. So we took our second round pick, and we got Elijah Moore out of it. But we also took the Jets' third pick on that, which begat Cedric Tillman, who made very significant strides this offseason. The draft brought a diamond in the rough in the fourth round, and I know we were all crying for him for the third round pick that begat Cedric Tillman. But we got Buckeye beast DeJuan Jones. The D-line was also addressed, as we were saying, in free agency, but they also added Siaki Ika and Isaiah McGuire. So all the holdovers from 2022 were put on notice. So the only head scratcher for me in that draft was DTR, but I mean, it's never bad to bring in a quarterback or even stockpile quarterbacks. And as I'm saying this, you realize that we have 4, as I'm saying this right now, on the team, and I'm sure some will be traded at some point. The draft rounded out with Cam Mitchell, who's been a pleasant surprise, and Luke Whippler. Barry always picks a DB, so of course we got Mitchell. And hey, why not add some more Buckeye depth in the O-line? The preseason was a mixed bag. The Browns kicked off the year against the Jets in the Hall of Fame game. And that was because Joe Thomas made the Hall of Fame, and it was a fun time celebrating the first time in a long time that we got a Hall of Famer in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How did we end up? Well, because of that extra game, we had four games, so we were 1-2-1. Austin Watkins was the preseason darling, and he was the highlight of the entire preseason. We really wanted to see Deshaun Watson, but we didn't see too much of him. But we did get to see them in the last game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, I know it's preseason, but the Browns did show us that they could dominate a good quarterback. The Browns took a commanding 21-3 lead, and the starters were dropped, and then they dropped the game. But the highlight for that one was Mahomes was flustered, and Juan Thornhill, man, he looked good in that game. Pick six. It was awesome. Moving into the season, though, here's what I got to tell you. What if I told you we would lose our starting quarterback, Deshaun? Actually, any preseason quarterback was not on our team anymore by the end of the year, including DTR. He was shelved with a hip injury. Both starting tackles would be injured for the year, and their backup would miss significant time. Our beloved Nick Chubb, man, this is a tough one, gone for the season after the third game, that is. Mohurst, Rodney McLeod, Anthony Walker, Grant Dilpit, all on the defense, all gone for the year. And we didn't have a returner, our Jakeem Grant, for 2 years, and this was the second. So, what do you guys think? 4-13, fire the coach, GM, start all over again, you know, press repeat, new players, top draft choices, everyone's favorite line, right? Browns doing Browns things. Wow. Man, I'm so pumped to tell you this. This is what really happened. The Browns finished 11-6, second in the AFC North. They beat two of the four teams that played in the AFC and the NFC Championship game, the Niners and the Ravens. Not playing the Lions, but they did in the Chiefs in the preseason, as I mentioned. This would produce seven Pro Bowlers, one All-Pro in Myles Garrett, and produce the number one defense in the league. And check this, Hall. This was the NFL Awards. So, Comeback Player of the Year, and it was a fun ride with Flacco. Assistant Coach of the Year, this was hands down the easiest pick probably for them, Jim Schwartz. Defensive Player of the Year, much to the chagrin of our brown and yellow just down the road or just down the turnpike, Myles freaking Garrett, he won it. And the Head Coach of the Year, man, Kevin Stefanski got his second. That was a heck of a haul. And man, it was mostly a lot of offense, you know, that got us there. The first quarter of the season saw the Browns go 2-2. The high point of the first four games was a win over the Bengals, 24-3, on a rain-soaked day that would see the Browns pummel and beat up the Bengals team and hold the injury-slowed Burrow to 14 completions and only 81 yards. We had the D that did not relent, especially when there was blood in the water. And that all that means is Joe Burrow looked terrible, and they made him look worse. They showed what we expected, especially when what we saw in that Kansas City game, but we did lose Jack Conklin for the year, so that was the low light of the game. The Browns would face two major hurdles in the next stretch of games. First, in Pittsburgh, Mika Shitfat Patrick hurdles himself in, hands down, leaving his feet, dirty spearing hit, that almost cost our star player his career. And to be honest with you, I'm really unsure about it still. But he is on PUP and slated to come back. Deshaun would have his best game the game after. 27-33 for 289 yards and two touchdowns. This was a game where it was a complete robbery of stats. I don't know if you remember this. Amari caught an out, and I can't remember how far down the field it was. Let's say it was 10, 20 yards. But he escaped the defender. He was a full yard inbounds. Got called out of bounds while running all the way to the end zone for a touchdown. I think that derailed a huge chunk play. That was 50 yards, let's say 40, and a touchdown off that stat line. So easily would have been like 340, 320 yards, somewhere around there, and three touchdowns. Killed some of us fantasy owners. Second hurdle, this would quite possibly where D-Watt got his injury issue. Arden Key laid the boom on him, and you guys got to check that out. He got fined on this. He laid the boom on him and just go, Arden Key, hit Watson 2023. And that's maybe where that shoulder stuff started up or cropped up. Moving into the next week, the Browns would start to see signs of that issue, like I was saying, and they would have their QB1 out of the lineup for the next couple games. DTR against the Ravens got a whole 2 hours to get ready, and they got after the young rookie, harassing the Browns into a 28-3 loss. They would come up, or would have to come up, with something in the bye week. The Browns are relegated to start P.J. Walker. That was the best they could do against the powerhouse 49ers, who were just rolling over everybody after the first five wins. And they were averaging about 30 points. And they kept everybody under 17 yards except for one team. And they hit like 23. Cleveland Browns Stadium was embarrassingly full of over-giddy 49er fans ready to celebrate a win before the game even started. And to be honest with you guys, tell me if you thought they were really going to win. I thought maybe Blake might have said something about it. I was had a hope in hell that they would win just based on the defense. But that D did will themselves that win. They held Purdy to 125 yards passing, while McCaffrey only rushed for 43 yards. Dustin Hopkins was named AFC Player of the Week. I mean, he was directly responsible for 13 of the 19 points that got put on the board. The Browns outlasted the Niners 19-17. And who couldn't remember the highlight of that game? It was a Michigan Wolverine and 49er missing out on the final field goal for the Browns to win that game. Guys and gals, I was at the Colts game with Dog Pack member extraordinaire Andrew Jackson. We were worried that this was going to be a letdown game. We were worried that Josh Downs may go off. We thought they could contain the running game for the Colts and contain Gardner Minshew. Well, he was the problem. He was giving the Browns fit with two rushing touchdowns. But Myles Garrett, and this was a difference in the game, did one of the most athletic things I've ever seen live. He jumped the line, the O-line, and blocked a field goal. Now, the timing's got to be right, and it's got to be a long one, so the trajectory's got to be low. And the jumper can't hit the players that he's jumping over. And whammo, man, that thing was blocked, and it got scooped, and I thought Denzel Ward was going to score. But the Browns outlasted the Colts with a last-minute rushing TD from Kareem Hunt, 39-38, Browns win. And man, after two big wins, the Browns would drop one on the road to Seattle. They would beat an undermanned card team the next week in the return of Deshaun Watson. This set up the showdown for the Ravens, and the fans and the players, we were just itching to get after the Ravens after they got kind of a gift. They got a gem of a game. Like, they got to go against a fifth round rookie who got 2 hours to prep for them, you know. And it didn't start off very good. Like, we were down 17-3. This was exactly the same thing that happened in Seattle. And then by the time, I think there was about 11 minutes to go in the game, we were down 31-17. But somehow this team willed together the following. Newsom, pick six. Angry Chief runs. I think even Ford had an angry run for a touchdown. And then a cool and calm Deshaun Watson led the team down for another D-Hop winning field goal. Whammo. The Browns, 33. Ravens, 21 in their house. And now I'm going to take a quick little break as we hear from our sponsors, and we'll get right into the rest of the season.
This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, B-A-D-E-N Sports.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, and use promo code dogs when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BoddenSports.com/dogs.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, guys, we are back, and we are getting into the next part of the season, and this is almost kind of like the second season, I guess I would say. Deshaun Watson, that would be the last we would see of him. The Browns announced that not only did he suffer a high ankle sprain in the win over the Ravens, but he was slated for season-ending. Yeah, that's right, season-ending shoulder surgery on a displaced fracture in his right throwing elbow. Like, this thing apparently was so bad, if he would have continued for the rest of the season, he may have never been able to throw again. So now we're get at crossroads again. Like, what did you expect? I'm back at the beginning of the season, not knowing what we could do. All I know is that we had a number one defense and we had a rookie QB. So maybe we split the rest of the games for the rest of the year. So as big as beating the Ravens on the road was, the win over the Steelers was a signature win for me. And the reason is because how many times in our Browns fandom have the Browns let down after a big game? And to be real with you, it's not like the Ravens are a slouch. Teams don't typically win after they play the Ravens. So the one thing that you don't want to do against the Steelers is you don't want to start a rookie, especially one that kind of had the outing that he had last time against the Ravens. Like, maybe he would have something back in his mind. But he had a full week of practice, and he did okay. DTR got that full week of practice, like I said, and the Browns controlled the game with the D. Smart decisions by the young QB and a big game-winning drive at the end to set up D-Hop with another game winner over a division foe. And if you remember the start of that game, that was a safety. Our score, 15-10. Ref score, 13-10. The Browns battled and beleaguered, would take the road to Denver and the Rams. And I remember them kind of putting it together like this was the next great bonding session for the Browns. But in one way, I think it was. In the win-loss column, though, it wasn't. In Denver, they would place another QB on IR, and I don't ever really recall us playing well in Denver my entire life. I've been watching since 85 as a young lad, as in 10 years old, and I would highly, highly doubt I've seen maybe one or two wins, not more than that. But this moves us on, because I mentioned DTR was out for the year. This moves us to kind of almost like the third part of the season, the Wacko for Flacco season, let's say. He played in the St. Louis Rams. He looked pretty steady, looked pretty good. And then other than that long, wild INT, you could see that he still had zip on his ball. But in that game, in the fourth quarter, things just kind of fell apart. The Browns were at 7-5, and they had the Jags at home and then the Bears. So they need to get on a winning track real fast. But not only did they win two, they would actually go on a four-game win streak. They would get 4-1 record out of Flacco, and Browns fans were going nuts for the former Raven. Man, in my lifetime, I thought pigs would fly before Flacco would become a household name in Cleveland houses across North America. The Browns did what they were supposed to do. They beat the Stroudless Texans and they beat the Rogerless Jets. Man, I was at that Jets game, and boy, I can tell you, being at that playoff clinching game was one of the most special times of my life. The game was out of reach by half, and fans were just celebrating because we all missed the COVID clincher against the Steelers. We're all at home, and as fun as it is to be online and talk to friends, we could actually hang out, and it was freaking awesome. The game, you know, started with a little bit of concerning news. I mean, Cooper wasn't going to play, and what did they have to do? Well, Ronnie Hickman stood up. He put six in the end zone. Dump out flat, and that was a wild play because Flacco got hit in the face, somehow got it to Ford, and he takes a wild run, trucking over a couple guys into the end zone. Then former Jets, Flacco and Elijah Moore cash in on a TD on their old team. Players were high-fiving each other. Coaches were smiling. They were high-fiving fans, and man, some of the players even took to the streets. I remember walking down the street shouting, "Here we go, Brownies," for like, it seemed 30 minutes. It was unreal. But the way that the Browns would end the season, I mean, the final game against the Bengals, it was kind of like a preseason game. We cleared out. We basically pulled up our entire taxi squad, so 16 people, deactivated like 22 people. So we just had enough people to play, and it looked like a preseason game. The clock hit midnight for our beloved Browns and Super Joe Flacco. The Texans dropped a 40 burger on us, and it was not fun. Flacco was sacked four times. He threw two interceptions, and our D got lit. But with all the craziness, everything that I said, I cannot believe with all the turnover on this roster that we got and squeezed 11 wins out of the team that was there. So something happened in training camp where they did bond. But I still see ungrateful things online, and things I'd never get about people, right? Like the Stefanski hate. I don't get it. Some guys actually say that this guy actually backed up into two Coach of the Year awards. Guys, like, come on, man. 2-1 with PJ Walker. Who could do it? I mean, could Andy Reid do it, maybe? I don't know. That's a tough call. You beat the number one team in the league, the 49ers, with him, and he played an unreal game with little to no preparation against the Colts in a wild one. I mean, to take a rookie that got beat up by the Ravens and squeeze out a win like you did with the Steelers and then take an off-the-couch Joe Flacco and make the playoffs, it is super unreal. It is so unreal, this is why he won the Coach of the Year. The only other team to do it was TJ, the only other player to do it, and team to do it is what I wanted to say, was TJ Yates for the Houston Texans. If you remember, in 2011, he replaced not only Matt Schaub, he replaced backup Matt Leinart. They actually won a game in the playoffs, and that is his only career. He was 1-1 in the playoffs. 1-1, lost one. The only other team to do that was the Patriots, and that was in 1987, and they were 8-7 because of the strike-shortened season, I believe, and there was no playoffs for them. So who did we all have? Five different quarterbacks. We finished 11, and we finished 11-6 as the season went. And we had Deshaun Watson, DTR, PJ Walker, Joe Flacco, and your trivia question of the day, who was the last one? It was Jeff Driscoll. So while that was, it seems unfathomable to you guys that he won that, that is because he had so many quarterbacks and had a winning record and made the playoffs. The other thing I don't get, guys, with the whole Flacco thing, but we'll take one more break and we'll hear from our sponsors, and I'll get into that.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DAWGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DAWGS.
Okay, guys, welcome back. We are in the home stretch here. We want to talk about the Flacco signing. Should they have signed Flacco as a starter or a backup? Guys, the word on the offense for the Cleveland Browns is that it was too predictable and stagnant. So you cleared out your offensive staff, and I know we're going to miss Stump Mitchell. And we enter in Dorsey, Tommy Rees, who was the offensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide last year. Andy Dickerson, Deuce Staley. I mean, pump some life, guys. Boof, boof, boof. Just like CPR in this offense. It needs some RPOs. It needs some fast break. Tailoring some O to Deshaun Watson and his talents automatically negates Flacco. You'd have to run two different things if something were to happen to him. He was awesome, no doubt. He reminded me of Bernie Kosar slinging it around in the days. Like, I miss those days, of course. But this regime is moving in a different direction, and that's to beat Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. He can't run. I mean, the other thing is his age. I mean, he's less likely to get in a full season, and I get it. First criticism that you guys say are going to say when I say this, well, Deshaun Watson, boo-hoo, hasn't played in 4 years. Well, guys, if you're building an offense right now and you had the metrics for Flacco and Watson, the height, the age, the weight, the speed, and so on, but you did not have their names, you would pick number four every single time. That's all I'm going to say about that. So you guys just have to get over it. The other, let's get into what to expect for the 2024 campaign. So the injury debacle of last year, especially in the QB room, we had some major upgrades. We still have Deshaun, we still have DTR, but we have Jameis Winston and we got Snoop Huntley. So we'll see what happens. We still got all four on the team right now. The acquisition of Jerry Jeudy, I said earlier, the third receiver was a problem for me. On paper, this is the best team he's ever been on. I mean, since he's come out, can you really name a quarterback in Denver that he's played with that is doing well at any point right now? The word out of camp is he has as much wiggle as OBJ, and he's very similar in stature to Stephon Diggs. Sed Till and Jamari Thrash stood above their preseason competition, so I'm feeling good about that receiver room. Tight end and O-line, starter-wise, remain unchanged. I need to see some more depth there. Dickerson really could breathe some new life in that O-line room. I mean, as great as Callahan was, maybe his message after 4 years was getting stale. Dickerson himself, he thrived in L.A. with McVay and Seattle. Those aren't too easy places. So let's see what this guy brings to the table with Stefanski. The D revamped one thing, and that was the linebacker room. And we got a player in Delvin Bush if he can find himself again, especially if he can reform himself into that defensive rookie player of the year that he was with Pittsburgh 4 years ago. Jordan Hicks should be much steadier and more present leader in the locker room. And that isn't a shot at Walker. It's just he was injured a lot and he couldn't be there. His durability and his field presence are a huge plus. And he has run Schwartz's defense before. That was in Philly, you know, when they won the Super Bowl. JOK should make it to the Pro Bowl this year. And there's going to be no alternative selection for him. He is straight up going to make it. The sky's the limit for the line. They should feast. Every single guy's got 10-plus. I mean, even Aronco. So five of the eight they're probably going to keep, or maybe they keep 10 defensive linemen. This guy's got 10 sacks in their mind. I mean, the record, I think, is 77 from the 89 Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if that's a realistic thing for them, but hey, if they're all looking at 10, who knows? DB Room's got to reap the benefits, man. I really want to see Juan Thornhill light it up this year. We signed him. He was an ascending player. He's got the personality. He's got the charisma. And just with the injuries last year, he's kind of the forgotten man. And that might just make him pop this season. No pressure. And then we got Emerson. Man, he's going to take another step forward. So when you guys watched the preseason, what did it tell you? Well, for me, it was not much. And you got that by the last couple episodes when we were talking about it. It's tough to gauge the preseason. I mean, guys, look at the entire record of the AFC North. We've got four teams in the North. Each team played three games. We got one win by the Bengals, and that's it. So we were very vanilla, especially against the Packers and the Vikings. The Browns basically set the back end of the roster with basic plays and assignments, and they said, get out there and let's see what you can do. The time of possession and plays were in our favor, and I do think that's a good thing because we did enough to get enough plays on the field. We didn't call enough of the right plays to get our players down the field. But like I said, there was the back end of the 90 and they showed why they were the back end of the 90. They generally didn't win their position rates and they're not going to be on the team. The O-line and the D-line couldn't control the line of scrimmage and they gave up some big plays. I don't see this translating into the season, and basically it's unlikely just based on the continuity of the defense. It will be interesting to see what the Browns D does in response to how they got handled by the Texans, because apparently crossers is the way to beat a Jim Schwartz team, and they crossed us to death in the playoffs, and we got that big 40 burger on us. Obviously, the O is the biggest question mark because the unknown makes us uneasy. But this is what I see, and you guys can tell me if you agree or not. First, we got to get a full season out of Deshaun. Dorsey has got the most in his first year with quarterbacks in the tenure with them. First of all, Cam Newton. Listen to this. 15-1 as a starter. 296 of 495 for 59.8% completion percentage for 3,837 yards, 35 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. That is a fantastic record. They did run more than he did in Buffalo. These are the stats in 2020, his first year with Josh Allen. I was going to say Josh Donaldson for some reason. Josh Allen. So 13-3 is a record. 396 completions of 517 for 69.2 yards. That was a whopping 4,544 yards for 37 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. So what's the biggest concern for Deshaun Watson while he's been here? If you take a look at the stats and peel back the layers of the onions, it is the completion percentage. In Houston, he was 67.8%. Here, he is down almost 10, 59.8%. So he's under 60, which isn't great. With Dorsey, the idea is to increase the number of first and second down passes. They will be shorter passes. Shorter passes promote completions and rhythm. Short completions and runs underneath, though, will need to be helped by, or I guess the continuation of them will need to be helped by deep completions to help the offensive success. Increased first and second down attempts will increase overall attempts, which will increase to more yards, if that makes sense. I'm going to assume he's going to play 16 games out of the 17. If he completes 21 to 34, which is 65%, at his career average of 12.1 yards per catch, that will net him 4,070 yards is what I want to say. With no Chubb, I do expect a higher TD value for him. So I'm looking at 32 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. Cooper and Judy should definitely go over 1,000 yards. I suspect that it's going to be very similar to the 2018 Vikings. In that season, Stefanski took over as interim offensive coordinator for John DeFilippo. And what ended up happening is they had a Cooper-like performance out of Thielen, who was the route runner, the chain mover, and got about 1,300 yards out of him. Diggs was the faster one who blew the top off the defense and had about 1,000 yards. Both chipped in for 9
touchdowns apiece. So this should be much the same what the Browns are looking for out of their two guys. The O-line, it has some depth issues to injuries, and seems like nothing's really changed. I mean, as I'm writing this, I know Wills and Conklin, they are coming back to the team. They'll be practicing this week and next week to prepare for the Dallas Cowboys. The key is Wills. Is he in football love, or is he just going to be ho-hum and get by? This could be the last hurrah for this line. Wills is at the end of his contract. Teller's at the end of his contract. Joe Bitonio probably has a year or two left, but he's been in the league for a decade. And we got Jones, DeJuan freaking the Beast Jones, waiting in the wings. So let's see what happens there. Maybe the last hurrah together is going to inspire them. In summary, guys, this is going to be quick. I think the D has the ability to get to another gear with the talent and the leadership of Schwartz. Hicks ran the D for Schwartz and didn't waste any time getting that humming and getting a Super Bowl while he was in Philadelphia. The O-line will be the best, again, that DW has ever had. The increased first and second down passing will catch some teams off guard and increase the passing efficiency. The biggest thing that I said, I'm going to re-say it again, someone's got to blow the top off the D for the underneath stuff to happen. If the D plays like last year, and even if Deshaun has a mediocre year, that should be sufficient. But that's not why they brought Dorsey here. The icing on the cake, though, that we all want to see is we want to see Nicholas Jamaal Chubb get out on that field and play out 9-8 games. That would make the season for me. So I think it's going to be about the same record, guys. It's going to be 11 wins, and it's going to be about 6 losses. And let's see what they do. I mean, give me a shout out. Let me hear what you guys think of the episode. And I really want to get the guys to 100 more subscriptions. So let's hit that 10,000. The other thing, guys, $12.50 t-shirts. Get Cleveland AF. Let's go. By the time this comes out, there is only going to be a week left till we play the Dallas Cowboys. And if you are coming into town, there is always a Browns backers bash going on in town for the entire year at one of the Browns backers bars. It actually happens to be hosted by the West Park Browns backers. They're located at PJ McIntyre's. It is 17119 Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland. It is 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 7th. The host is the president, Danny Reichel. He is the man. He is going to have some special treats for you guys. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but there will be food, drink specials, live bands, raffles, 50-50, and way more. So I told you what I could tell you. Can't tell you what the way more is. Guys, that is it for me this year. I had a blast. I'm glad you guys are taking into the Throwback Thursdays, and I have a blast doing it. Let's go, Brownies. Beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.